I'm Sarah Austin Jeunesse, The Moth's executive producer and longtime host of The Moth Podcast. Every week, we share true stories told live and without notes by real people from all walks of life. Stories about disastrous haircuts, May-December romances, photographing Pluto, fighting for justice, and so much more. Some stories make you laugh, some make you think, and many stay with you long after they're told. Discover the power of story. Follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
Dirt and Sprague.
Around the Morris Green gets free for a three, and he splashes it down. Back-to-back triples for Elliot Cadeau. Timeout, Arizona. Michigan with absolutely no pity for the kitty. Up 72-45 over the Wildcats in the national semifinal.
Andy Dirk Johnson, Brandon Sprague.
And for the first time since 1978, UCLA is back on top of the women's basketball world. The Bruins have captured their very first NCAA National Championship.
Dirt and Sprague on the Fan Sports Network.
All right, 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 105.1 The Fan and the Fan Sports Network. Hello. Happy Monday, everybody. Hello. How are we doing, Swigard?
We're doing great.
Nice to see you again.
How could you not be great after a weekend like that?
Oh, my Lord. I was out yesterday on the course. Had a tea time for a Sunday afternoon twilight-ish
Beautiful,
round.
Gorgeous yesterday.
Dude, it was still. I played with one of our P1s.
There you go.
One of P1s, Brian, out there. Very nice gentleman. Went through, he was a photographer in sports. Showed me all these old photos
awesome.
He had taken. It was really cool. And I walk off the course with my buddy. You know, it was Sunday. It was golfing with Jesus.
Yeah.
I had Jesus out there with me. You
That's
know?
Right.
Felt very protected, very loved, very welcomed.
Yeah.
Not judged. And I walk off and I go, dude, I'm pretty pasty white. I don't feel like I got any color at all. And then I got home, I showered, and I look in the mirror and I'm like, oh,
yeah,
we're a little red.
Yeah.
We got a little red on us.
Yeah, we got a few spots. That's how it was Saturday morning.
Yeah.
Out of Wildwood.
Yeah, it was perfect this weekend. Look, are we going to pay for this in the summertime? Yeah, we absolutely are.
Yeah, I hope it's not a scorcher this summer.
I mean, if it's 80 degrees in early April, I'm going to take a gander and say 98 in, like, June.
I hope not.
At this point.
Because when I drove over the mountain the last weekend to go to Bend,
yeah,
not much snowpack.
Yeah. I mean, look, we don't need to start the show with doom and gloom, but scientists are incredibly concerned about the little amount of snow packing on the entire western seaboard. But you know what? Enjoyed it for a day. Enjoyed the nice weather for at least a day.
Should stick around most of the week.
Yeah, that's what I'd heard. So, you know, if you didn't get to enjoy it this weekend, I'm sure most of you did. You got the entire week. But a nice little weekend. And I want to say a quick thank you to start the show. Get out in front of it.
Yes.
Thank you to everybody in our building that contributed and helped with our client party Friday.
It was a blast.
I'm sure most of you was listening to Primetime, the different rendition of Primetime that was Friday. It was a blast, and everybody knocked it out of the park.
Oh, yeah. Everybody had a great time.
Our biggest overlord, Ryan Cooley, did a great job. We got all our great, fabulous clients that we love. I think the cool thing about our clients at our radio station and in our cluster, our building, is that almost, I'd say about 98% of it, because you get some national stuff here and
right.
there, 98% of it is all relationship-based, real, authentic stuff. So, like, when I do a commercial, it's 99%. I have a relationship with people. Yeah. It's a product I, you know, really believe in. And so it was nice to hang out with all the clients and say thank you and have a good time with them. Cooley knocked it out of the park. We had Edge Hill here playing, one of these up-and-coming bands that I've been told next month might be one of the top trending
have the number one hit or something in the country.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
One of the top songs in their genre. And then I want to say thank you to Sage, who did a good job with the customized beer cans.
Oh, yeah.
Johnny Martin,
he is
the do-it-all guy of our building.
That guy takes care of everything.
He absolutely does. I owe him a coffee. He doesn't listen to the station, but when he comes in today,
there you go.
I'm going to go up to him and ask what his coffee order is. I'm going to get him a coffee because I thought he worked incredibly hard and did a great job. Everybody that showed up did a good job. But it was a lot of fun. You ended up being the topic of a fun conversation.
Oh, well, I'm here to provide content,
well,
if
so
nothing else.
Let me try to paint a picture to anybody out there. So there's really no dress code for this. You know, it's don't dress dumpy, but like show up and have some.
But it was a gorgeous afternoon.
It was beautiful. Whether you want to wear a hat or shorts or whatever you want to do, just.
Well, we knew I was going to be in shorts. That was a no-brainer.
Right.
The shirt was a specific shirt.
I don't know
if you know the history of the shirt.
Well, you had explained it to me.
Yes.
I didn't know the history of the shirt until you told me about it. And so I look over and Swag shows up. He's got his hair done nicely. He's got his shorts on. He's got boat shoes. And he's got a Hawaiian-themed shirt.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, my God, this guy has come to party. And so you tell me the backstory, because we were sitting next to each other during one of the band performances, and you're telling me the backstory of the shirt. So I look over about an hour and a half later, and this is kind of the tail end of the party, and I'm talking with the sales extraordinaire, John Ludwig.
Ah, Johnny Ludes.
And we're just talking about the party, and, you know, Dave King Sella come. Hey, Brandon.
Hey, Brandon.
Hey, Brandon.
Did you meet my clients over here?
Brandon, I got clients. I do declare.
They're interested in doing something with the show.
And so Dave King Sella comes over and have a conversation. And we look over in the distance near the corner of our building. And in boat shoes, khaki shorts just barely above the knees, and a Hawaiian-themed shirt, and perfectly coiffed hair with glasses, is one Jason Swigard, who has left hand against wall leaning, right hand with wine glass,
that's right,
and traffic goddess Jen Roloff.
Oh yeah,
standing just left underneath, and I know this wasn't the situation, but we started commenting about how you look like new bachelor on the prowl at bar or get together.
No,
just hammered, trying to hit on this cow because of the way your body was positioned.
No.
I know that's what it was.
Jennifer and I are like brothers and sisters.
I know.
After,
but
as long as we
distance, you look like, hey, lady, what are you doing out here with your Hawaiian shirt, your wine, and your boat shoes on?
Oh.
It was a great image.
There you go.
We enjoyed it.
Well, I'm here to put smiles on people's faces.
It was a lot of fun on Friday. Got to talk with Souk. Haven't seen Souk in a while.
I
don't see Isaac and Souk ever.
No, I talked to Rob for a while. That was good.
He was the only one I missed because every time I wasn't talking with somebody, he was in a... Like, I literally was leaving.
Well, we were in the back because our friends from Laurelhurst Market were here providing the food.
Yes, and they did a great job. The brisket deviled egg was phenomenal.
Yeah, and there was a little charcuterie board.
Yep.
The deep fried mac and cheese bites were awesome.
I had somebody come up to me, and we were talking about the food, and somebody came up to me and went, did you guys just mention the deep fried mac and cheese balls? And I go, yeah. And they went, can you stop? I've eaten way too many of them. Because they also had a nice little combo sauce on top of
them. Oh, yeah.
That they were serving out.
Yeah.
And so it was just funny the way that they said that, because I think they said they ended up having six of them, seven of them,
yeah,
and they weren't tiny. They were pretty good size.
No, they were. It was a two-biter, at least a two-biter.
Oh, minimum two-biter.
It was not an amuse-bouche, which is only a single bite.
No, this was a two- to three-biter, depending on how big the bite is there. But, yeah, every time I saw Rob, I was either in a conversation.
Or he was.
Yeah. And so I felt I didn't want to be awkward. Hey, Rob. How you been? You know, and interrupt a conversation. But he was the only one I didn't get to say hi to, other than waving to him at the studio because I had a client that was here and I was showing him around.
There you go.
But it was a good time, man.
It was a great time.
Had a good time. So just wanted to say thanks to all the overlords and give a shout out to Johnny Martin working his tail off. Always does, but had a good time. So Friday ended up being a great day. Saturday was fantastic. Easter weather was perfect for all those who participated.
Yeah.
I had a little bit of a less than... Easter in the sense of no basket, no egg hiding. I actually did no egg stuff.
There you go.
This weekend, it was literally...
Well, eggs are damn expensive now.
Well, they are
expensive. Why are we wasting them to color them and have nobody eat hard-boiled eggs?
Well, we didn't even do plastic eggs.
Oh, okay.
It was like no... All the kids in my family...
They're all... Yeah.
They're seven and older, and you might be like, well, seven Sprague is kind of a sweet spot. You'd think...
No.
But not really. This is a very mature seven-year-old we're talking about here. And so there was no egg stuff. It was just a little family get-together, a lunch at Red Robin, and just a delightful little Sunday.
There you go.
Did you do any family stuff on Sunday?
We went to the wife's parents for Easter breakfast. Kind of went up and saw them. Because we had a big delayed Swigard family birthday party that was supposed to be 2 weeks ago. But one of the nephews spiked a fever and got strep. And so they're like, no, nobody come over.
Yeah.
So there's my brother and my mom have March birthdays and one of the nephews early April birthday. So,
oh, that's a perfect combo.
So, yeah. So we did that Saturday night. So the whole family was together then. And so my brother kind of did a big Easter themed. There was ham and turkey and potatoes and yeah. So
can your brother get down the way you get down cooking wise? Your brother?
The whole Swigard family can get down.
Oh, okay.
If needed.
If needed.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
So yes.
So that's what you guys got into
on
Saturday?
So Granny, yeah. Mom like set the stage early on all my...
So your mom's a party animal, right?
Yes.
For the record?
Oh,
and
yes.
This was her what birthday?
79.
79's a pretty big one.
So yeah, we're already in the planning stages for the 80th. It's a soiree. It's like figuring out. It's like, okay, we got to have some live music. What are we going to do?
Is there a theme for number 80?
Not yet.
Okay.
I don't sense any particular theme.
Mm-hmm.
It's just going to be good music, good food, good drink.
Yeah.
All my family and friends, let's go.
Okay. No theme at all?
Not yet.
Maybe your favorite 80 thing? Could be an 80s television show. Somebody comes in with Jerry Rice jersey.
I don't know.
Your mom doesn't care, does she? She just wants to get housed and have fun. Look at that. You know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I need to meet mom. I don't think I've ever met your mom.
Yeah.
I've only met your dad.
All right.
Because well, your dad came in here and did some science
that's
stuff.
That's true. No. Yeah. We'll have a good time.
Yeah. All right. Well, 79's also a big one.
Yeah, she didn't want to, you know, it was.
See, you can't poo-poo it because I have a belief. My family kind of operates this way. Sometimes the off-numbered birthday that doesn't resonate the same way other ones do end up becoming slightly bigger.
Well, she had something almost every day that week.
Oh, really?
Her birthday was on a Tuesday.
Oh, okay.
So there was a dinner with these friends on Tuesday, dinner with these friends on Wednesday, going over to the neighbors on Thursday.
Okay.
And then wife and I went over on the weekend morning and made her brunch.
Mm.
And did that. So
she got down all week.
So yeah.
Okay. So by Saturday, it's like okay.
They weren't doing anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
But as far as like a big event, like gonna have to rent out a space and, you know, 100, 150 people possibly, something like that.
Okay.
Live music, all that stuff.
The big 8-0, man.
Yeah.
It's one to look forward to. Well, it sounds like you had a delightful weekend as well.
Had a delightful weekend.
Easter, hope everybody had a good Easter that celebrates it. And if you didn't, I hope you just had a good Sunday with great weather. I mean, at the minimum, that's what you should have had. We have a lot to get to today.
Yeah.
Busy little show. Little bit of a dudsy Final Four. And yes, both the men and women.
And some head scratchers.
Very big head scratchers.
The women's Final Four got turned upside down.
I mean, we had coaching beef.
We had that. We'll get to that.
It's since been resolved. We got a first-time national champion. We got a title game set for tonight in the men's side.
And
boy, I don't know what happened in one of those other games. And I couldn't have been more wrong on everything. I think as soon as I signed off on Friday, Tommy Lloyd.
You got Michigan right. That was it. I whiffed on everything.
Remember when I said I come in Monday thinking Tommy Lloyd's the UNC coach?
Yeah, there was that. That didn't even make it till lunchtime.
That was fun to hear on the firm, and I'm like, oh, I know.
That was so long
prediction.
Ago, everybody forgot about it, though.
I'll wait for spring line. Maybe they did.
Are they going to find a coach? Are they doing what Oregon did, and maybe they'll luck into the next Altman?
I don't know, because Dusty May's going nowhere, according
to the
latest report.
He's not going anywhere.
Tommy Lloyd just got extended.
Yeah.
Billy Donovan.
Nate
Oates got extended. Billy Donovan appears to just love being in the NBA.
That's a weird one. I don't know why Billy Donovan wouldn't. Unless he doesn't want to deal with the college experience. Now, that's the only thing I can think of. He's like, portal, NIL, blah.
North Carolina get Patino?
No, I thought he just signed a new deal at St. John's. He got an extension, too.
He also probably never wants to leave New York.
No.
He loves Jersey, New York.
I think he's there. I think they're just happy with being relevant. And if they can get deeper and That'll be his last job.
I don't know who the Tar Heels are going to get now. Everybody's getting extended or staying.
I don't know.
So it's a loaded show today. Let's get it going. Let's start with this. We'll kind of rewind a little bit from the weekend. Today's a Monday. Let's rewind a little bit because the weekend was very...
Plus, we had one of the most amazing baseball defensive performances we've ever seen.
You could argue it's the greatest defensive game any player's had in Major League Baseball history. At least that's what the opposing team was saying after the game. And then also... We had a big-on-big duel this weekend in the association. Did you watch that game?
I did not. That's the one I didn't see because that was at the that was the birthday party.
Brutal. Should have just been on in the background somewhere.
Yeah, we had the Final Four on in the background, but we
Wendy
were...
Joker was a noon game.
On Saturday?
Yeah.
Oh, I was playing
it was
golf.
It was an early Saturday game.
Yeah, I was playing golf.
Prime.
I'm going to have to go back and watch the highlights or
something. You should. You should go watch that because it ended up, you're like, oh my God, they're going to blow them out. And then it was like a random comeback and you had Wimby and Joker, overtime.
Yeah.
That was exactly what you want. The Blazers made a little bit of headlines this weekend as they come back to playing some important games. They play tonight at Denver.
Yeah, it's a dead heat with the Clips.
Dead heat with the Clips. Won last night. They beat the Kings.
Yep.
Here we go. The battle for the 8 seed. So we'll dive into all of it today. Loaded show. Let's get it going. Dirt and Sprague, 105.1, The Fan.
Hey there. I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't. And you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, the Fan text line is 503-864-6326. That's where you can reach the show. We're on Twitter at Dirt and Sprague as well. Speaking of that tan little bastard, he'll be back tomorrow. He's actually in town right now sleeping his little Betty by.
Oh, did they get back in the wee hours?
Yeah, that was why he was going to be out on a Monday. I think he told me he was landing sometime at like 10:30, 10:45.
And that's assuming things were on time.
Yeah,
and
right,
then you've got to pack everything up or get a shuttle or whatever, get back. Lord knows what Teddy Ballgame is up to at that point.
What the flight clock was doing
exactly
to Teddy Ballgame. He was 3 hours behind. Now he's, you know,
no,
3 hours
totally
back.
Understand.
And yeah, so when he said
she's
that,
got
I was
all
like,
day
yeah
to recoup and do 72 yep loads of laundry today and go restock.
Is it really that much laundry when you go to Hawaii? It's the same like four outfits. It's
just
shorts
well
and t-shirts.
I think there's a lot of crap for the kid.
Yeah, that's fair. That's a fair point. So Dirt should be back tomorrow,
yes,
according to my schedule.
Yes.
That's what I know, unless
yes
he texts today and says, I'm not going to be in.
Fanman has confirmed
that he will
that
be on
he
on
will
Tuesday
be back on okay Tuesday.
So it'd be nice to have Dirt back. We'll have the full show. We haven't had a full show for 2 weeks.
Yo, it's been 2 weeks. Everybody took spring break, and then it'll be another week, and then I bail next week.
And then you bail next week.
Yes.
And then you'll be back for a while, and then you go to Italy in the summer.
Yeah, that'll be interesting because there will no doubtly people will believe I've either been fired or left.
I said
I'm
this,
gone for 2.5 weeks.
I told you this during the break, and I'll just put it on air. I need a full report back of the train system.
Yeah,
how
well, that's
works
how
in
we're
Europe
traveling to the cities, and that's where they said, you know, try to pack light. But yeah, we'll just, you know, suitcases. We've got hotels that are near the main train stations and the places we're staying, and hop on there and 150 miles an hour. Let's
it's,
go.
It's shocking to me how awful this country is with train situations.
Yeah, we missed the boat on that.
We missed the boat. We chose to not take the boat is what happened here. Flight travel's great. I know not everybody would be on a train, but when you have speed, high rail speed, and it works everywhere, I'm going to need a full report back. So
I will do that.
We'll get to that. On Friday, this has already been deaded, but Friday we had coaches beef.
Yeah.
We had Gino Auriemma get super pissed at Don Staley.
I still don't really know. All I heard was he was mad at the officiating, but he took it out on Don. He
was actually mad before the game started at Don, and nobody knew that. So they went up to each other before the game starts. They go in almost like the good game line, and the coaches say, hey, you know, good luck, yeah, nice to see you, all that stuff. Customary is the lineup gets announced, and then the coaches again go to half court and shake hands. Don Staley didn't do that. And so then Gino Auriemma, he said he stood there for 3 minutes, waited for her, didn't do it. He goes, in 40 years, 25 Final Fours, I've never seen this before. It's like, I don't think Dawn Staley was doing this because she hates you.
Yeah.
So he instantly starts out with a little bit of a FU energy. You then fast forward to the game. UConn's up by two. You have Sarah Strong at some point in the game drive. Jersey hand gets caught, foul. Sarah Strong's jersey rips. She has to change jerseys on the sidelines. And then that sends Gino into a rage. He starts going at Dawn Staley. Dawn Staley's caught off guard by it because he walks past her and says something. Because there's about 1.7 seconds left. The game is over. South Carolina's won the game. And Gino goes out early. They see each other at half court. Gino says something. Don's caught off guard. Then Don gets defensive.
Yeah.
Then they're being separated. And so you had this exchange by Ryan Rucco.
Be one final inbound here. The officials will hold the players now. Don and Gino getting into it a little bit on the sideline as Gino has to be held back. And Don and Gino, that's part of what makes this rivalry such a compelling one. As they exchange words at center court.
So Gino basically goes off in the post game. He went off during one of the TV timeouts about the officiating. You can guess how this went. It did not go well.
Yeah.
Everybody panned Gino Auriemma for this. Media, fans, everybody. And he ended up having to send a statement out the next day. I apologize. Good luck, South Carolina. My emotions got the best of me. You don't see Gino Auriemma get quite hot like that very often. And I think that's the good part of that game is it largely was UConn for such a large stretch of women's basketball. And then here comes Dawn Staley in South Carolina. And then, oh, here comes LSU and Kim Mulkey and Baylor right. and all those. And then now you got Texas here at the forefront. Obviously, you've got UCLA just won a title. USC is back. They've got good players. They'll have Juju Watkins next year. You have more competition. And so I think it's breeding out, especially with Gino at his age, a competitive side of Gino that you haven't seen since Pat Summitt was alive. So it makes for interesting television and drama. The title game did not give us that because Corey Close and UCLA hammered South Carolina.
That was impressive.
That was super impressive. That game was over the entire time. It's from the get-go they came out and they were up 10, 12, 15, then 20. They pushed it to 30 late in the second half.
Oh, yeah.
And it's over.
It
was a countdown clock.
Oh, yeah.
The entire second half. That's all it was. We did get this great blurb from Gabby Jaquez. Now, this is Jaime Jaquez's sister.
Yes.
As they showed her a lot, showed him a lot during her national championship game.
Yeah, this was on the podium with the thing, and Holly Rowe is up there asking, you know, kind of how, and it's all seniors. Seniors scored all the points for UCLA in the title game.
It was like seven seniors are loaded on this team.
What was, you know, how did this team come together was the question.
And here was what Gabby Jaquez said.
We decided to be national champions.
Drop the mic.
Doesn't that feel like something Signetti would say?
Absolutely.
Hey, Kurt, how did you just do this?
We decided to be national champions.
I figured we can use that drop.
The echo part of it makes it really good. I do love that, though. That's
we decided to be national champions.
I mean, anytime your team wins a title, that's just, how did you do this? We just decided to do it.
Exactly.
That was the choice.
Dodgers won another World Series?
Yep. We decided to be national champions. Absolutely. If Dirt's Ducks ever win the football title.
We decided to be national champions.
It took us 30 years. We did it, folks. So we had a little bit of drama in the women's side of the bracket, and South Carolina loses the title game. Back-to-back years losing the title game by 20-plus for old Dawn Staley.
Yes. Well, I think everybody now, Lauren Betts, I think, is projected around the 4 spot in the WNBA entry draft, which is a week from today.
The percentage, the shooting splits with Lauren Betts on the floor and not on the floor for South Carolina were staggering.
Oh, yeah.
So she'll be one of the top picks in the draft.
And I thought I read, I'll have to go back and see. WNBA free agency starts this week. They can start sending qualifying offers back and forth. And
we
then
have players on our team.
We have players.
How about that?
The expansion draft produced no household names.
No.
So you're going to look at it, and there might be one or two names. You might go, wait, I might have heard of that person.
So I'd heard a couple names. I want to ask you there very quickly on this because I read an article to sum it up because I didn't know half the names.
So they have they took 11 players in the expansion. Draft.
Portland won the day with depth. Toronto won the day with big swings.
Yes.
That was what I basically, the synopsis
right.
of it. There was a duck in this, and I'm very curious why why the Portland team didn't just say, oh, we can have a duck on our team. Let's go that direction. Sabali was in this.
Yes.
And Toronto picked her up. We didn't.
Well, Portland took a Ontario native with the number one pick.
No, I get that. We kind of threw it back at Canada's face.
That's true.
But when you have a duck involved that's already played in the league for a year, I don't understand why.
Well, but she didn't finish her career at Oregon, right? Didn't she?
I thought
transfer?
She did. I'll look it up, but she played at Oregon. So I'm very curious why. Like, you're not the odds of you being the Valkyrie who had a good first year.
Yeah.
Very slim. You're probably not going to be great.
This is an extremely difficult year for an expansion team because there were so many free agents because of the CBA
issue. Plus, everything's rushed through. Now you got to speed up everything.
Yeah, but this is going to be, as far as wins and losses, it's going to be a big challenge. They're just behind the eight ball starting out.
But I said this on Friday, as wrong on everything as I was. Corey Close is a damn good basketball coach. She's been there for 18 years.
Yep.
Really cool moment to watch her when she brought her mom in for the post game.
Oh, yeah.
I thought that was an awesome moment.
So, yeah, she'd been there 15 years at UCLA.
UCLA wins their first title since – is it their first ever or the first since like 78?
So the NCAA did not recognize women's sports till 79.
That's
so they
right.
won a national title in 78 with Annie Myers.
But it didn't technically
But it wasn't
count.
An NCAA title. It was the AIAW.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the women's tournament is over. UCLA hoists the trophy. And we had a little Geno and Don Staley. Red-ass Geno. Like, get out of here. You're the GOAT. But come on, man. What are we doing? We'll get into the men's side of the things at the top of the hour, 7 o'clock hour. I thought it was a little bit of a dud Final Four for the men.
Yeah, that Illinois UConn game kind of went, we said, you know, neither one of them will blow them out just because that's how they play. Neither one of them, you know. And yeah. Illinois hung around. They got close there at the end, but they couldn't hit threes. If
the
they
Michigan,
had made
Arizona
threes.
Game, I mean,
whew.
It started 10-1, and you're like, oh, surely they'll get it going.
Yeah.
No, they won't.
No, they didn't.
No, they did not. So we'll get into that coming up at the top of the hours. We got the national title game tonight, and that game is set. Let's pause from college hoops. Is this the best defensive performance in baseball history? And it happened against a local-ish team. So we'll talk about that coming up next. So it's some NBA and MLB happening this weekend. And I'm watching my baseball team as they split a series with the D-backs. But I'm keeping an eye on all things baseball. I'm trying to keep up with everything. I saw Connor Griffin played two of the three games for the Pirates, and he got an RBI in his first game. And so as I'm keeping up with everything, I'm noticing this Angels-Mariners series is happening down in L.A. And it's crazy to watch a SportsCenter, because I'm still kind of relying on sport. I'm going back old school. I'm watching SportsCenter now to get me up to date on highlights.
SportsCenter's a great way to end your evening while you're in bed. And you just you catch up on, you know, because we're all focused on a couple of different big games or local stuff. But it's, you can, it's like, whatever you might have missed.
Well, if you missed it, and I know a lot of you out there are Mariner fans, and they're not off to maybe the rip-roaring start you'd hope. They're 4-6 now. They dropped the series to the Angels.
Yeah, still struggling with the bats a touch.
Yeah, and look, it's early.
It's early.
I mean, what did you say the Blue Jays are now? They're 2-7?
I think they're 2-7. 2-7 or 3-6.
I mean, maybe the panic button's being hit. I know the Red Sox are god-awful right now.
Red Sox are 2-7. I know that.
So, you know, it's early.
Blue Jays are 4-5. They're 4-5.
4-5. Okay, there you go. Maybe I confused it with the Red Sox record of 2-7.
They're 2-7.
And some fan bases are freaking out. I don't know if Mariner fans are freaking out, but, you know, they're not happy about this. You lose a series to the Angels, you're not happy about it.
But you're only two games out of first. The Astros
exactly.
are 6-4 leading the division.
Well, out in right field is a man by the name of Joe Adell.
Yes.
And I don't know how many people knew who Joe Adell was coming into the year, but you learned his name because here is a montage of three things he did in one game.
No balls and one strike. There's a drive out to right from Raleigh. Adell's back near the wall. He leaps and he caught it! Joe Adell robs Raleigh of what would have been his first home run this year. There's a drive to right. Adell is back. He's at the wall. He leaps up. He got another one! Joe Adell, what a night! Here's Crawford with a fly ball to right toward the corner. It's Joe Adell again near the foul pole. Leaping up! Did he catch it again? He fell into the crowd, so it's a home run. They called him out. He did it again.
Seattle is challenging the decision of a catch.
Joe Adell, who has already robbed two home runs tonight, could very well have the hat trick. And this was the most sprawling of all of them.
After review, the call on the field is confirmed. It is a catch.
Joe Adell with his third home run robbery tonight. I've never seen anything like it.
No. I had neither. That was Wayne Radonzo of Angels TV on the call of all three. And the last one was J.P. Crawford. They were only up 1-0, the Angels, at this point.
Yeah.
And he goes over into the corner by the foul pole. He jumps over. They got a short porch over there. He falls into the crowd. Like, the great part about this play, Swigard, is if you look at the replay. God, this microphone's still not been fixed. What are we doing? If you watch the replay, there's like three Mariners fans right in the vicinity of where he's catching this ball. And even they put their hands on their head like, oh my
goodness.
God.
Yeah.
And the great image that came out, and I saw this on the old internet, so I know it's real. Joe Adell is standing, holding the glove up with his one arm, and everybody's going crazy right behind him. It's from behind. And so you see the jersey, you see the name. Cal Raleigh had a great quote in this, and he basically was like, this is, and he's on the losing end of this.
Yeah.
Like, this is the awesome part about baseball, is every single night you might see something that you've never seen before.
Yep.
And the tracking data, I was curious where this was at. The tracking data on this says in 2025, so last season, four home runs were robbed for the season. He had three in one game. And I believe it was Torrey Hunter, who's a special assistant coach for the Angels, pretty good Gold Glove center fielder for himself back in the day. He says, I'm pretty sure that's the greatest defensive performance I've ever seen from a player in baseball history. Three robbed home runs
legitimate
in one game.
Home run robbing. Like, had he not caught it, they were all out.
Yeah, it wasn't like he jumped, caught ball, and then back hits the wall. It's legitimately over the wall.
Yeah, midway from the warning track, and like, you know, his momentum carries him into. No, these were all going to go over the fence.
Yeah, according to the, where did I see it? I think it was a CBS Sports article, or maybe it's Yahoo Sports. According to the analytics of the true measurement of the ball is absolutely over the wall when it's caught. They had four of them the entire year last year. Joe Adell had three on Saturday night.
That center fielder with the Athletics had, I think he had two of them.
Yeah, that's right, because he had a filthy, what is his name? I just
Clark,
watched him.
I think.
No, he's really good friends with Michael Harris. He just had a series against the Bravos. But yeah, he had a couple of them last year. But four total, and then you had three in one game. It's remarkable. I mean, the catch, the last one, because it's not easy to have to chase that down and then have your legs cut out from under you.
Yeah.
And
the
that's
ones
what that
up against
does.
The regular fence, the padded fence, as long as you kind of get a glimpse so you know where to take off so you don't catch the wall too soon.
Yeah.
That's you can time. But the other one going right to the foul pole over the short fence. Yeah, keep your concentration knowing that, you know, what you're going to land on isn't going to be soft.
Now, he is batting 237 on the year. He's not necessarily known for his offense.
No, he's got power, but he strikes out a fair amount.
Yeah, and I think I saw a quote from him that basically was like, at what point, you know, did you figure out this kind of talent you have? And he was like, well, I figured out that this is going to be my superpower in the sport. He knows he's not the greatest of hitters. It's something he continues to work on, but he just knows like how athletic he is and how he's capable.
You patrol the outfield, you know, they'll work on things, you know, with the hitting coach and approaches and those sorts of things.
Man.
And if he can strike out less or get on base more.
I've seen some good games. I've seen a lot of good games from center fielders and outfielders in general. Three home run robs I'd never seen that before.
No, that's insane.
In one game. So Joe Adell is a name we all learned about this weekend. He robbed the Mariners for three homers.
In a 1-0 game.
In a 1-0. Yeah, all of them mattered. It decided the game. You don't see that very often, let alone deciding
the
game with catches like that.
There was a picture captured on the whiteboard for the Mariners the next day. It said, game plan, don't hit it to Joe Adell.
That should be up every time they play the Angels. Don't hit to right field. Stay away from that guy. Just quite a Saturday night for Joe Adell as the Angels take the series from the Mariners, and he robs them of three home runs in one game. Probably the greatest defensive performance And are we clear to say that? Do we think that?
I don't know. It's, you know, how much film was there from stuff back in the 50s and 60s
and 70s? I can't speak to the infield of things, right? Like,
yeah.
How many hits or RBIs you stop at short or the corner or whatever.
Yeah.
But from an outfield perspective, to have three in a game.
Have to three in a game is unheard of.
Hard to think that that's been done, yeah. And if it has, text police, let me know. But that probably was the greatest defensive game ever.
We all know some amazing catches. Junior, you know, him crawling up the fence at Fenway Park. Bo Jackson.
Edmonds is an angel. Yeah. Over the shoulder, fully diving. I still think that's the greatest catch in baseball history. But, you remember what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Full extension
flat out,
over?
Full extension into the warning track.
Insane.
Yeah.
So a hell of a night for Joe Adell as he robs the Mariners of a win. It's 6:43. We're back with more Dirt and Sprague on 105.1 The Fan.
Have you ever felt like you were living just a B or B plus life? It's so dangerous to live that, more dangerous than a B minus or a C plus life, because when you're living a B or B plus life, you don't change it. You think it's good enough. Is it? I'm Susie Welch. I host a podcast called Becoming You. People think, okay, an A-plus life is not available to me, but there is a way. We are all in the process of becoming ourselves. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
We'll get to the men's national championship game. We had the Final Four over the weekend. Bit of a dudsy Final Four. I know we had one game that was, I guess, by score close, but I don't know. I thought UConn kind of controlled it the entire way.
Illinois kept teasing them.
Yeah, they got – what did they get? Within two,
they
right?
Got
at one
within,
point, two or three?
I thought it was four. I thought they got it down to four, three.
It felt like they got within a basket away, but they never could get over that hump. And we talked about this when it happened. I picked the wrong side of it, so joke's on me. But we talked about this when he won of like we had a listener reaching out and was like, how scared do you think the team is that's going to have to face UConn? I'm like, they're pissing down their leg, that fan base. Having to take on Hurley. I don't know if Michigan is.
I don't think so.
They probably are just from the, we're nervous because we don't want to lose the national championship, but
that
they're
I
a wagon.
You have to, you know, seeing a team that's in the title game for the third time in 4 years and won two of them, like, that will get your attention. Like, if we think we're going to roll out and just, you know, have a layup drill.
Right.
That ain't going to happen. We have to focus on the game plan and that'll get your attention. That'll make it easier for the coach, for Coach May.
I'm very curious in Major League Baseball. We'll get to the Final Four and the National Championship game here at the top of the hour. We got NBA. I got Blazers to talk about today. The Blazers made some headlines from the national perspective, and they've clinched at least the nine.
Yes.
Because the Warriors lost last night to the KD Rockets.
Steph almost in his return single-handedly got him over the hump against the Rockets.
It's hard to beat an all-time heater run by Steph Curry in a game. Like, when you're watching it as a fan, especially when it's at the Warriors arena, it's like there's a magic to that, right? What I would say, though, is I don't know if I dislike anything more as a sports fan than Curry and the Warriors need the shot to win. And what's the play? It's Steph Curry just dribbling and dribbling and dribbling against a double team and then fading away and just flicking it up.
35 feet.
And look, he will make those occasionally.
He does.
See France, gold medal game.
Yeah,
but
no kidding. But can you run something?
Can we do something? Some
kind
of action? Yeah, something, man. It just, I don't know. That felt like a losing shot.
Ant Edwards does it. James Harden does it. It's becoming – Dame does it. It's an epidemic, and I don't know why you can't run a damn play in 6 seconds to try to at least. And I know you don't want to. The theory is if they give up the ball, other teams will double team off the ball in your secondary. You want your best player to take the final shot.
No doubt. But there's NBA a way to, I think, to.
There's a way to do it.
Because he was clearly going to be double teamed the entire time. He also was obviously going to be the one that shot that shot. And he just faded away. If you
but I would think you're more likely to get a whistle if you run some off-action stuff trying to come off a baseline scene, because they're going to grab you, knock you down. I think you're more likely to get a foul that way than if you just go up against a contested whatever. Unless somebody tackles you, you're not going to get that whistle.
Well, he's so good off the ball, and that's what they've tapped into in this era, that like I just don't understand why have him just dribble for 15 seconds.
Yeah, you have some of the, you know, some of the best coaches in scheme in terms of how to set screens.
That's what happened to them in the finals against the Cavs in that seven, right? Like, yeah. The offenses went cold from both sides, but go back to the Kevin Love stop. It was him just dribbling 40 feet away, trying to do an up fake move and dribble pass, and Kevin Love never really bit.
Yeah.
And then he hoists up a terrible three, and Love contests, they miss, and rest is history. So that's the only thing that bothers me about the end of the Warriors. But the Blazers have clinched no worse than the ninth seed in the play-in as they play at Denver tonight, who's coming off an overtime win against the Spurs. I want to ask you this in Major League Baseball, because ESPN put a watchability index up. What I find interesting is like which teams are the most fun to watch, which teams are the worst. Have you seen what's happened so far? I know you have. To my co-host team to start their season.
Yeah, they can't score.
They can't score. They're dead last 3-7 in their division, and their manager got tossed yesterday.
Yeah.
He is 10 games into his career as a pro manager, and he's been tossed.
He's gripping pretty hard.
A lot of people questioned that move, taking a college manager into Major League Baseball. And it's too early to really panic, but I do wonder how bad this gets before we have our first managerial firing and going, okay, college guy obviously not working out in the big leagues because the Giants are a disaster.
Didn't they give him like a 5-year deal, though? I mean, not that if a major league team wants to fire a coach, they can do it.
I'm going to tell you this as a new Premier League fan and somebody who always sees the headlines of hockey stuff. Patrick Waugh was fired.
Yeah, Patrick Waugh, 4 games left in the regular season.
And they fired him. I just think a lot of sports are telling us they don't really care about coaches in their sport.
Yeah.
Soccer does this, and tough weekend for our old local soccer team.
Oh, man.
We'll get to that. We got local headlines to get to, though. A little wake and bake local edition. But soccer, hockey, and baseball is not quite as egregious as the other two, but I do feel like baseball is also like, yeah, we could fire this guy and be okay. I'm not saying the Giants will, but a 3-7 start and being ejected in your first 10 games is not the greatest of signs that you know what you're doing.
Yeah.
Not a good start for old Dirt's Giants.
No, not for, what's it, Tony Vitello?
Vitello, yeah.
Yeah.
He came from
Tennessee.
Tennessee, that's right. Rolling the dice. I like being ballsy, but sometimes there's such a thing as being too ballsy.
That's on Buster Posey.
Buster Posey has all the power and say in the Giants, and they're 3-7 right now.
Yeah.
Reminder, not all great players know how to identify a great team or talent, but it's early. There's a lot of baseball to be played as Major League Baseball rolls on. The Brewers are doing it again this year. They're just going to roll to the top of the NL Central standings.
And then flame out in the divisional series?
And then probably famously flame out in the divisional series. Early check in the divisions, the West, and the AL. The Central's again, meh, as the second place team is 4-5.
Yeah.
The East is going all the way to the Yankees again.
The Yankees pitching staff is the starting rotation.
And my guy, Max Fried, staying healthy.
And they're not all healthy yet. They're still waiting to get a couple of dudes back. That's filthy.
The Marlins, probably the surprise team with the Pirates in the NL.
Yep.
Both 6-3. And then your Doyers are running away. Your division sucks. The Diamondbacks are no good. The Padres are disappointing again. And the Giants are garbage.
Yeah.
Look at you. Wearing your Dodger hat, and you don't even watch Game 7.
Yeah, I got
seven,
my new World Series champion.
It's unbelievable. You don't deserve the team. I'll just say that flat out. You don't deserve it.
I don't. Or
no,
LA?
No, you. You specific.
Why?
You didn't watch Game 7.
I did watch Game 7.
I will die on the hill. If I die before you, know that I don't believe you. If you die before me, know on your final breath, Sprague never believed me. And then you kick
the Is that bucket. Going on my tombstone?
Dude.
Sprague never believed
when
me.
When you go to the upper room, know that Sprague never believed that you actually watched
You think
Game
I'm
7.
Going to the upper room? God
too,
bless you.
Yeah, God wants you, dude. He wants as many Swigarts to party as he can. Knowing the person your mom is, he's like, I got to have him too. He's going to make good brisket. We have a loaded second hour. Let's kick it off. The men's Final Four was a dud, but we got a title game. Hour number two, Dirt Sprague 105.1, The Fan.
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, wherever you get your shows.